Thanks, Stick. I want to invite you to just pause for a moment and be aware that more important than me, Jesus is here right now. And just to close your eyes and be open to his presence and ready to hear from him. So there is a story that I heard. I don't know if it's actually even true or not, but it does form, I think, a valuable image for us, a valuable metaphor. Marie said that the service has gone to the dogs, and it will kind of be there for today. But I think it's a good one for us to think about and understand in our heads. So the story goes like this. There was an Indian Christian, not a Native American Indian, but an Indian from India, who had followed Jesus most of his life. And there was a young missionary who just came out to the field and was asking him, how have you done this? Like, how has it gone for you? It's so hard when the culture is opposed to you. And he shared something interesting. He said that inside of me, there is a white dog and a black dog. And they have been fighting my whole life. And the missionary said, oh, well, who wins? And he responded back, the one that I feed the most. It's a pretty simple metaphor, right? Not all that complicated to recognize that inside each one of us, there is a white dog and a black dog. They have different priorities, different goals, different things that they're hungry for. And they battle in the course of all of our lives. And the one that wins at the end of our life is the one that has been fed the most. I don't know that this is ultimately even about whether you get to heaven or not. I would imagine there are many individuals who have fed their black dog their whole life. And their black dog is beat up on the white dog endlessly. And yet they can still find a place of forgiveness and get into heaven with God. So I don't think we're at that place that says you can't ever get to heaven apart from that. But I think it's about the life that we live. About the satisfaction and joy that God wants to bring into the life that we have around us, and the tension and the battle that goes on about that. And the two stories that we have, or the story and then the reading from Philippians, we have kind of both sides of that scenario. Nehemiah maybe seems a little bit stronger to us than we'd like. We don't like to think about anybody pulling out someone's hair. I don't like to think about that. That seems pretty painful. But what I want you to see is that he had this passion to say, I do not want you to feed your black dog. Now, as the story was read, and that's how it's translated most often, it is a little bit confusing because it talks about not marrying foreign women. Now, that isn't the issue at all. You can marry a woman of any ethnicity, of any background whatsoever, or marry a man of any ethnicity and any background. Not an issue at all. It would be far more clear for you if you could recognize, you know, marrying someone who had a different faith orientation. Who said, I don't believe in the God that you believe in. I believe in a different one. I want to live in a different path. So there's no compatibility about that. If you speak a different language or have a different cultural background, that's just a little challenge to figure out as you get married, but not anything insurmountable and not anything at all opposed to God. But if you want to marry someone who says, I want to feed the black dog all the time, then God says, man, that's going to be really damaging for you. To connect yourself so closely to someone who doesn't care about feeding the white dog, and doesn't want to nurture that white dog at all. There's enough of a battle in your life alone. Right? You come already with both dogs inside of you. You don't need to knit yourself closely to someone who's just going to care for that other kind of dog. This message is far too broad for one Sunday. So honestly, we're only going to touch on the black dog a little bit. I'd rather get to the white dog and focus on how do we feed and care for him. But I think it's good just to know that black dog is there. He is present in our lives and gets fed on a fairly regular basis. There's kind of three major ways the black dog gets to eat. the ways that he gets to kind of go. And Marie, you can kick over to the next one if you want, that Nehemiah is showing for us. So the first of those is really just out of the world at large. So much of what we get communicated is often the viewpoint and the ideas and the food of the black dog. I interacted with some of our members this last week that had this really ironic interpretation. They were pretty fine being highly critical of the Bible and highly critical of the church. But then if there was something they heard from the media 10 times, they assumed it must be absolutely true. That's a case of saying, I don't want to take anything and bring any food to the white dog, but if there's a black dog around, I'll take anything. I have no problem with you being as critical as you want of the Bible and church. Have at it. Bring it on. I don't care. There's answers for all of those things. Ask away. That's healthy and strong. But if you are going to criticize the church and the Bible hardcore, then you probably should do that with any other source of information too. Right? If you say, I don't want to feed the white dog much, then you want to be just as careful about feeding the black one. Right? Because you get messages from all around. Everybody's got some agenda somewhere. Right? Just to recognize that that's filtering in. So if you're taking in huge amounts of that from somewhere and have no filter around for that, you're probably feeding the black dog pretty well. And I wouldn't be surprised if you find a greater distance from the white dog because of that. Gonna happen. The second area that we get that from the most is from our relationships around us. And feeding into those things. And that's what Nehemiah focuses on, that close marriage relationship. That's what this verse from 1 Corinthians says, don't be misled, bad company corrupts good character. So just as a referent point for you on that, are any of you afraid of snakes? Afraid of snakes? Snakes, anyone. So now what's super ironic about this is that most of you that raised your hand and said, I'm afraid of snakes are women. So let me tell you something. No, let me tell you something really clear. There are three primary indicators that will tell you whether you have any chance whatsoever of being bit by a poisonous snake in your lifetime. Okay? So if you match all three of these, you live in a danger zone. If you don't match any of them, you're going to be fine. It won't happen to you. Number one indicator that you will at some point be bitten by a poisonous snake is that you are a male. That's why I said it's ironic. If anybody ought to be raising their hands saying, I'm afraid of poisonous snakes, it ought to be the guys. But the reality is the guys aren't, which is why they're more likely to get there, right? Second indicator that you're likely to be at some point bit by a snake is that you indulge in drugs or alcohol on a regular basis, especially when you're around poisonous animals, right? That's the second indicator that it's going to happen to you. And the third indicator, I don't know if you see this coming at all, is to be around other guys. If you are a man and you are using drugs or alcohol and you're around other men and there's a poisonous animal there, you are almost guaranteed. Right? A lot of bad choices happen when we're around other people. It's just really true, right? It's not just even at a teenage level. It goes through all of our lives. Chances are the first time that you drank alcohol at some point, you were around other people that were encouraging that behavior. Could be a healthy moment, could not be, but chances are it happened in that kind of environment. I mean, a lot of things in our life are led by other people around us. We could spend some time maybe on ladies and talk about how gossip happens. Doesn't happen too much when you're on your own, but get a couple together and suddenly those things begin to flow a lot more easily, right? So it's not pointing fingers at one gender or the other. It's just realizing that the people we place around us will influence who we are. Hands down, it does. And those can be a white dog or they can be a black dog as it goes. But beware, because if they're headed toward the black dog, then they're going to lead you in that path too. And the final way that we can feed the black dog, just really briefly again for us, is with this internal kind of voice that we have. It's the hardest one to get away from. You can shut off the TV and shut down the internet, and you can find some different friends to be around you, but you cannot separate from your own self. And so there is a voice that comes up inside of all of us that says, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're fat, you're a failure, you're hopeless, you're never going to change. It goes on and on and on, right? And I don't need you to raise your hand because I know you've heard the voice. I mentioned last week that the USA is number one in a few things. We're number one in women's soccer, which is great. Number one in depression and anxiety, which is not so great. Not all, but much of the depression and anxiety that we face in this country and even around the world is simply a case of feeding the black dog over and over and over again. I'm a failure. I'm stupid. I'm fat. I'm wrong. Nobody likes me, whatever. And you just feed it again, and you 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 get stuck in that place. That black dog is so intensely powerful. It is so big. It just puts its paw on the white dog, and it can't even begin to move. And that is the root of much of the depression and anxiety that we face. So this is not just weird, mystical, spiritual stuff. This is just reality. Right, this is the world that we live in. There's this battle that goes on, and if you want to give food to that black dog endlessly, then pain and suffering and challenge and difficulty comes into your life. It does. At any of those levels, you begin to do that. But I brought us back to Philippians 2 because I wanted to have a chance to say, what does it look like to feed the white dog? It's a little depressing to only focus on the black one. I think it's great for you to be aware of that, to even look in the course of this next week and say, where am I just feeding that all the time? How do I begin to stop or slow that down? Because I don't need him any bigger than he is. But Philippians is Paul kind of coming alongside of us and saying, hey, feeding the white dog is just as important as stopping feeding the black one. And letting that white dog get big and strong and powerful and all of those things is really vital. He gives us this range of 8 different areas or categories. They're largely, I don't know if they're repetitive, but they just kind of add on top of each other whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. He says those are the things you need to focus on. Those are the things you need to drink deeply of, so that this white dog begins to have the power and the strength that it needs to have. So I kind of took that to heart this week and began to say, what would that look like if I really did that intentionally? And so I came up with 5 practices, and we'll actually just do those today. What I know about my own dog is that if my dog is hungry at home, it's probably not super interested, or he's probably not super interested in me explaining to him the intricacies of canine nutrition. He doesn't want me to read the back of the bag of dog food to him or explain this is what it will do for your body and this is how your coat is going to be so much more glossy when you eat that. Like, he's just sitting there wagging his tail saying, can you fill my bowl? Like, I don't even really care how it works necessarily. I just want to eat. Right? And so I think there's even a point for us too, that if I just spent the rest of the message explaining to you how the food for the white dog works, it wouldn't be nearly as valuable as if you actually just ate. So I have at least 5 ways that you can begin to eat. They are not comprehensive of every way you can feed your white dog. Go ahead, be creative, get crazy, find as many ways as you want to. I tried to have a range of those that we could focus on for today. So we're just going to walk through those this morning. And kind of experience what it's like to feed our white dogs a little bit. And hopefully you're going to get more hungry out of that and be ready to kind of engage on that in your life. So the first one is the only one that I wasn't quite sure you'd fully grab just on your own. It's maybe something more unique that I just have kind of done a lot of my own life. So I'm going to model that for you. And then after that, you get to play full time and all the rest of that. Is that okay? So the first one, we'll just start off with a super small little white dog, right? As cute as we can be. Right? That's cute right there, right? So we love our white dog, right? We want our white dog to get bigger, so we got to fill that bowl. So one of the things that I do is simply review the story of God and me. So the Bible, and we can see that kind of on the scroll over there, is God's story of all people. But I just kind of make that personal for me. And I can do that really short and sweet. I can stretch it out to a much longer place. Short and sweet is even just a simple breath prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, right? It doesn't get much more simple than that. At a longer version, it goes something like this, and I'm just going to talk to Jesus. You're welcome to kind of view how that looks for me. Jesus, I am just in awe that I even am. I can touch this body, I can think these thoughts, and I know that I exist. And I see just this amazement that I think, and my body begins to move, and I look, and I can see colors, and I can hear words and songs and images, and I am alive. I didn't do anything to earn that. That's just a gift to me, God, and it's been a healthy life and a beautiful life, and I just appreciate that gift that you've given to me, that I get to be. And I know that you've made me more perfect than I can imagine. God, I've grown. My mind has expanded. My body's been healthy. I get cut or I get wounded. My body begins to heal. And I know that you've given this structure and order to who I am. And it goes beyond just my body. I know it goes into my relationships with other people and with you. And I know I've been blessed by really great friends, by great family members, God, by great times with you. But I know I haven't always. And I know when I look at my life, I see the moments that I've walked away from that plan that you have for me. And I see how I have hurt others and how I've wounded myself. I see how I've dishonored you and your name. And I know that I stand guilty in front of you. God, I know the shame and the guilt that covers me. And I have no recourse. God, I've tried so many times to promise you that I'm just going to change and get better, but I don't. And I know that you came into this world just perfect. You took on human flesh and you lived this perfect life. God, not to rub it in my face and not to show me what life could have been like if I just would have made the right choices, but so that you could put yourself on that cross and so that you could die in my place. And Jesus, I don't get it. It still doesn't click for my mind, which is why I go over this again and again. But somehow in that moment, even 2,000 years ago, all of my filth, all of my stupidity, all of the pain I brought to you and others is just swallowed up in Jesus, and it's gone. And even though my mind can still go back and find those memories, I know and I believe that you can. And that they don't count against me anymore. And I know that you promised that whenever this life is over, I will get to live with you. But you also have promised that right now I get your Holy Spirit. And Father, I get to be your son. And I've seen you answer prayers in my life. God, bold and crazy prayers. I've seen you lead me, not always in easy places, but in good places. I've seen you change me and change others. And I just acknowledge that you are even more alive than I am. And above anything, I want to find a way to follow you better and better and better. Just taking all those things that we already know about God, and just shoving your own life in the middle of it. And again, you can add the details you want to. You can add whatever else you want to. The general storyline is the same one over there, right? You got to go to the first mountain and find the place of sin. You got to go to the second mountain and find the grace of God around you. And then hold his hand and say, how do we go from here? But that is the stuff that is true. That is the stuff that is beautiful, that is praiseworthy, that is excellent, that begins to feed that little white puppy. Right? So now an opportunity for you guys to do that too. So this is a mutual one. Honestly, some of the best ways to feed that little dog are to do that together. It makes it far more powerful. So I'm going to invite you to grab around yourself a group of 2 to 4, however that works out for your seating arrangement. Please be bold enough to grab someone who's sitting alone around you so that nobody has to do that on their own. I'll see what I can do on that too. I just want you to share one story about Jesus. If you can't think of any, you can flip open to a gospel and find one really quick. There's a pretty easy one on the cross. Hopefully you're aware of at least one. Put whatever details you want into there, whatever else it is. There's no right or wrongs on that. Just a group of 2 and 4, like, this is a story I remember about Jesus. Right? Simple enough. Go. When you guys do this on your own, you do this as a family or as a small group, you can take all the time in the world you want to. It's great. We're going to keep practicing things this morning. So the next one is an individual exercise for you that is simply about being thankful. When we're thankful, and Paul mentioned that earlier today, right, for Thanksgiving, then we simply look in our life, right? It's a beautiful habit, right, to say, where have I found good? Where have I found things that are excellent, that are praiseworthy, that are beautiful, or that are lovely, or that are pure? That's what we're thankful for, right? So we have a little countdown clock for you for 5 minutes. So you're just going to spend 5 minutes on your own, rooting around your whole existence, saying, what could I be thankful for? Look through people, look through things, look through experiences. It can be spiritual, it can be material, doesn't matter, right? You get stuck somewhere, just start looking somewhere else, other area of your life when you're younger, somewhere else you live, whatever else it might be, some other arena. Can you fill 5 minutes just by saying, here is what I am thankful for? So Marie, you can start the countdown clock, and there we go. The time is up, but can you just grab for a moment how good it feels? Just to kind of soak in thankfulness. It might have been hard to fill the 5 minutes, or might have been a few moments when you're like trying to think of something else. But how good just to kind of drink that in, not just quick, move on somewhere else, but just to receive that there has been a lot of goodness to me, a lot of great things that have come into my life. It's feeding the white dog. It's letting it grow big and strong. So the next one we want to do is to open up our Bible. So everybody needs to have a Bible. There's some in the pew in front of you. Psalm is the big book right in the middle. So if you flip it open to the middle, you're probably going to get pretty close to Psalms. Psalm 3 is the one that we're going to look at right now. It's super short, not really hard to make your way through. So we're just going to try to read it through 3 times. And to let that be personal for you, you're not looking for some universal truth that fits everybody. You're just saying, where is there any truth in this psalm that connects to my life right now? So just underline that. Even if you're using a pew Bible, go ahead and underline it in there. If you have your own Bible with you, great for you. Just say, this is where this psalm is connecting to me 3 times. I like Paul's list of words in Philippians 4. I like that he didn't just pick one, and he gave us this broad range, because stuck in the middle of all those is this word lovely, which just means beautiful, means attractive. I think in our culture, we make that far more shallow than it needs to be, and speak only at the most brief level of some attractiveness, you know, within a person. But there is just a depth of beauty all around us. It has inspired songs and poetry from the beginning of time. It has captured the hearts of men and women of any culture throughout all of human history. And it's a gift of God. So we interact with a tangible world around us through all of our senses. So would love for you just to be challenged to say, can I share something beautiful with at least four of those areas? So you can skip one if you want. If you don't smell well, you can skip that if you want. But here's something that I've seen that is truly beautiful. Here's something that I've heard that I would say is beautiful. Here's something that I've tasted or touched or smelled that I would say is beautiful. So again, just a group of two to four, whatever is kind of gathered around you, and just share beauty back and forth with each other. You can take turns going through that. Make sure everybody gets to share at least four of those. You can help your kids try to figure those things out too. And just communicate beauty back and forth. All right, once again, you may not be fully done yet. We'll try to move together as a group through this. If you've paid attention at all to some of our pictures, and we can go to our next one, you see that our dog is not a puppy anymore, right? So the first little one, you'd be a little worried about him messing with some black dog. This one, he's going to be okay. I mean, there's going to be a fight with a black dog every day of your life. There's not a day there isn't a fight. But this is a dog, you're like, I think he's gonna handle it okay. I think he's going to be all right at the end of the day. And that's where we want to be. That white dog is strong and healthy and competent, that you have this foundation of knowing who God is, of seeing beauty, of being thankful, of being in relationship with others around you, of understanding how you fit into God's story. And again, it can be broader than that. There's a lot of things to do that. But I think my question for you then is, are you satisfied now, or is your white dog still hungry for more? What I'd love for you to do is to say, I want to be intentional about feeding that. I think the biggest challenge is that almost by accident, the black dog gets fed every week. You don't even have to intend to do it, and it will get fed. The white dog requires a little bit more effort to do that. So what would that look like in your life? And I've tried, again, to find some things that are simple enough that you could begin to integrate that into your time as a family, your time in a small group, your time just on your own, so that you can say, I'm making sure that this is happening. So in your bulletin, there's the connection card, the little blue card that you have. And you can use the worship time that we have or the offering time at the end. I just want to draw your attention right there. We kind of outline those five different areas that we looked at today. And again, they are not comprehensive. You can actually use the prayer space below if you're like, I got some other cool idea that Pastor Pete never thought of, but that's what I'm doing to feed my white dog this week. That's great. I would love to get some more ideas too. But what I would challenge you with today is that every one of you would leave here with at least one intentional way of feeding your white dog. Like, I am going to think on things that are excellent and praiseworthy and noble and true and lovely. I'm going to do that. And here's the way that it looks in my life, and here's the way that it connects to me. So that dog is strong and healthy within my life. So in the course of the rest of the service today, I just want the Holy Spirit to speak that to your heart. So worship team can come up, and we'll just pray right now. God, if we were designing, maybe we would just skip the fight. But this is the world that you've given and the life that we live. And so we just ask that you would help us to starve our black dog and help us to become truly excellent at feeding our white dog every day. And we are very different people, and that's great. There's not just even five ways of doing that. So what I pray that most, God, is that every one of us finds an authentic and real life-giving way to feed that white dog in us, and that we can begin to make that a habit and build that. So lead us in that, we pray, Jesus. We want our attention on you, God. Not distracted by other things around us, but fully given over to you. So lead us into that, we pray. Amen.